Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Party Friday to everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden here. Chuck is just wrapping something up. Actually, he's coming right now. He'll be joining me in a second. Truth Straight Up, that's what you're going to get here. Show brought to you by AmericaCitizenPress.com and Dr. Julie McCallan with Denver Cenogenics. So we're all still processing this, but the long-awaited Arizona County or Maricopa County in Arizona audit has been released. Chuck and I have a little bit different takes on it. Surprisingly, I'm optimistic. Chuck is depressed, but there we go. Hey, also some video I got, you guys got to want, you want to see about what actually happened at the border. Just a, you know, preview there, no whipping, no systemic racism.
But the president, just to be helpful, has decided he will punish.
He will punish the Border Patrol people.
It doesn't matter what happened.
No.
They must be punished.
Exactly.
And he will make sure there's retribution imposed.
Without so even having
judge, jury, and executioner is your president.
Exactly. And all the mainstream media, too. And, you know, follow the science. The CDC, after telling us for months to years to follow the science, the FDA said, hey, look, we don't think there's enough evidence. We need more research about this whole booster shot thing. CDC said, oh, follow the science, follow the schmiance. Everyone needs to get the booster shot now. Only the Pfizer booster shot. So I'm wondering if they just had a better lobbyist than the other guys.
Well, I'm sure they've got a lot of Hunter Biden.
And then this
artwork.
Yeah, really. Yeah, exactly. And then John Lott, an investigative columnist for Real Clear Politics, has a really interesting column up. We're going to be talking to him at 3:30. I'm talking about what the impact that guns have on deterring crime and preventing more crimes from occurring. Surprisingly, you may be shocked by this, mainstream media doesn't cover that a lot. And a lot of major...
And it was a matter of long...
I must concede Chuck was right again on this. We debated that for
it's
years.
It's just so tiresome being always right.
I mean,
I am a Maricopa County.
Well, let me just one other thing that we'll talk about. This is a little gossipy kind of thing, but just so you may have seen the news all over the place. An ABC producer has a, I don't think the word is accused. She's shining
noted.
A light. I noted that Chris Cuomo is a
touched
kid.
Her fanny.
Well, and squeezed her
5
fanny.
Years ago.
Well, she's being nice about it. She's saying,
"Oh, yeah, she's being great about it." Yeah.
Chuck, you recognize my story. I know her. I worked
with
her.
And you touched her fanny.
I did not. I worked with her on the JonBenet Ramsey case. She was a great producer. But as far as I'm concerned, anyone who causes problems for Chris Cuomo,
no,
go
don't
for
disagree
it.
With that.
It's a better
I don't
world.
Disagree with
okay,
that.
So let's start out with the Maricopa County results. I had to pick Rev up at school. They had early release because of homecoming. So you were listening to it.
Yes.
You go first, and then I'll explain why I don't jump off the ledge.
Okay. Let's see, jump off the ledge, nor should you jump up and down.
Well, yeah.
They released the drafts, early drafts of it, which basically shows that, in fact, the vote totals, I mean, the number of votes that went in and so forth, are very close, within a couple hundred votes. Now, that leaves part two, is whether those votes that went in are legal or not. The president of the Senate, a woman, gave a report, started out, and it was unfortunately very, just noting that the vote totals were very close, as reported, and then saying blah, 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 blah.
It seemed very boring.
Very boring. Right. Now, the question, of course, is it's never necessarily been that they added the votes wrong. It's that what were these votes? Were they legal votes or
right.
they illegal votes? And if there are as massive illegal voting, they sure didn't highlight it in their incredibly boring presentation.
Well, and
therefore... It's just like the Mueller report. I mean, they always accused Barr of getting ahead and then issuing his rendition of it and before anybody else, and therefore was able to give the spin he wanted. If the Arizona Senate wanted to spin that there are lots of illegal votes, it sure didn't do it very well.
Well, here's my take on it. And that is probably because they don't know for sure, right? I mean, that's a whole different thing. And that's maybe where they go next.
But then why bother at all?
Here's what I want to caution you against. Do not fall into the PSYOP that's going on. ABC, I just read, was tweeting, after months of long investigation and conspiracy theories, blah, 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 they've determined that Joe Biden won. The votes counted that Joe Biden won. It's like, well, hello, yes. As Chuck said, that's not the question. The question is, where did those votes that make Joe Biden win come from? And they noted, Liz Harrington is a spokesperson for the president now. And even when you look at the graphs that they have, there's tens of, let me back up, Trump and Biden, the only that was in the difference 10, was 10,500 votes, right? In Maricopa County. Well, there are tens of thousands, some 55,000 plus. I've seen some, depending on what you want to count as questionable, up to almost 100,000 votes that there are significant questions about. And let me tell you what some of those questions are. Number one, they're what they call ghost votes, where they were ballots that were returned. There were mail-in ballots that were mailed back in, but never really got to the person that they were mailed to, which is odd. Some 23,000 there. So that's ghost ballots. That in and of itself would be enough to shift it. There's some other ballots. I mean, it's everything from people who voted multiple times. All kinds of categories. People who didn't sign it, where the signatures didn't match. There was some evidence of some ballots that appeared to have been photoshopped. A lot of questions about tens of thousands of ballots. So to me, there are a couple of takeaways. One, don't buy the mainstream media PSYOP that, well, the vote count shows Biden won. Yes, that's a problem. What about those votes counted? Why is it, do you think, that people like Jenna Griswold wants a law and has made it as ordered? No one can do an audit in Colorado. If nothing else, I think this shows audits are a good thing. I mean, the next step is to get to the bottom of this and figure out, well, how did those mail-in ballots that were turned in but never got to the person they were mailed to, who signed them, who filled them out? Are people lying? Are they just, did they forget? I mean, what's the deal there? The people who voted multiple times in multiple jurisdictions, were they just super excited about the vote that day and thought, you know, they took, remember the Arapahoe County clerk's advice, vote early and vote often. They thought that was for real. To me,
well, it is for real.
It is. And I think what this to me does, and you're right, it's kind of like the Durham report and the indictment and all of that. It's a little bit too little too late. But what it also does, guys, and this is what we have to remember, is it tells us that we are right. So when you look at the Denver Post story, for instance, about the Mesa County clerk, it's filled with things saying that she was at a conspiracy theory meeting. It wasn't a conspiracy theory meeting. It's not a conspiracy theory. In Maricopa County, there were tens of thousands of ballots that they have what they consider to be critical questions about, right? Critical questions about. So that's not a conspiracy theory. That's a fact. Sorry, Peter Boyles. That's a fact. Now, what's behind that? We don't know. Maybe there is a great reason for all of that, but it seems to me we need to find out. And they're going to keep trying to bury us, Chuck, under conspiracy theories. They're going to tell us it proves Biden won. Don't let them fool you like that. And don't let them, Chuck, don't let them make you be depressed. If you're a Republican out there and you're looking at this and you think that you have a chance to win any election in the future, you're crazy. You need to look at this and say, we've got to clarify things and we've got to make sure that this kind of stuff, if it's happening, we know why it's happening and then we stop it from happening.
You can have all the facts on your side in a trial, but unless you can put those together to a jury and convince them, you can lose that trial. Your ability to gather facts, your ability to give facts, to lead with certain facts, that's presentation is perception. Perception is reality. If this is supposed to show you that Donald Trump was cheated out of his election, and I believe Donald Trump was cheated out, it's the worst presentation I've ever seen.
Well, I'll give you that. My guess is they were probably boringly trying to go out of their way to not come to conclusions. I mean, my guess is Chuck is looking at the Ryder Cup results. Chuck, focus.
Leading.
My guess, okay, America's winning. My guess is that's step two, that they need then to refer some of these and figure out where they come from. There's one other thing I wanted that gives me some hope also, that this election stuff is coming out from under a rock. Again, I get too little too late, but I think though there are lessons to be learned and hopefully things that we can do to prevent this. There's another organization out there called True the Vote. And one of the things it is doing, and they've been keeping a really low profile, but one of the things they've been doing is using surveillance video. And I use the term surveillance video. It's not like secret. It's like there are cameras on every corner practically in major cities now, right? Of drop boxes and apparently cell phone records and pinging and things like that, where they can figure out who's, and what they have allegedly found, or at least reportedly found, is mules, essentially ballot mules, dropping off literally boxes of ballots at these drop boxes. And some of that in states where it's blatantly illegal. That's the kind of thing. And then apparently they can follow them back to where were they before they came there. I don't know if this is what's being reported. They're keeping deliberately a low profile for exactly this kind of thing. They don't want to raise people's expectations. They don't want the mainstream media attacking them for being conspiracy theories. I mean, just because it's a conspiracy theory doesn't mean it's not true, Denver Post. The Russia thing, was a conspiracy theory, and it's true. So,
one thing this points out to, and it's certainly true Colorado, Republicans have to learn how to be better, meaner, and tougher than they've been. They are only mean and tough when the establishment crushes the grassroots or tries to crush them. They're divisive and they're awful people. But any other time, they're just.
Well, they're swampy. Again, keep in mind, Chuck, you need to remind yourself, the Republicans who are awful like that are Republicans who are benefiting from the system the way it is.
Yeah.
That's why it's the instant they start not benefiting or becoming, they can't get their consulting job like Cory Gardner after they lose an election, then they'll start caring a little bit more. I think though, again, this underscores the need for audits. I think that in the
this
coming,
this is not the way to get them.
And I would agree with you. The presentation is awful. And my guess is that they're just trying to bend over backward to be fair and not reach.
Well, they
got to
stop bending over backward.
I understand.
They just get intimidated by the left, and therefore, instead of giving the Senate president saying we found 55,000 or wherever the number is fraudulent votes enough to totally change the election and blah 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 blah, you instead give a presentation where you bring out just the opposite. The vote totals were close and everything else, but we have lots more to talk about. That's not how you do it. Not how you entice the jury, either in your opening statement and certainly.
Right. You call them at least potentially illegal. I understand that they don't know right now what the problem is with all these votes, but that's suspicious to me. Some 23,000 ballots were mailed out somehow, apparently, at least it appears, intercepted by somebody somewhere and then returned. And the person, they weren't returned from the address where they were mailed to, right?
I think you could reasonably assume that a significant portion of those are fraudulent. But you got to say it.
You can't
allow the Democrats to kind of go, you're cheating.
Because
you're cheating.
That's the mainstream media spin on this already is it shows Biden won. Leaving out the fact that, yes, it shows Biden won. The problem is how they got those votes that made Biden win. That's the issue. And you're absolutely right. Because they're going to spin it and they're going to continue to slam people. And then they ban you from Facebook. We got kicked off of YouTube for this, right?
Get kicked off everywhere, they said.
But again, ask yourself why. And the answer is because they know the truth and they know the truth will hurt them. And they want to stop people from asking questions. They want to stop people from finding out the truth. And then when they do find out the truth, they want to make it impossible for people to spread that truth. It's up to all of us, I think, to keep insisting on it and to check to not let the PSYOP get us down and to not say, well, there's no point. We might as well not figure out what was wrong with those ballots. We might as well not do any audits.
Well, as you pointed out, Trump's spokesman quickly came to the right conclusion, quickly gave the right, if you're assuming you want to prove ballot fraud, quickly came to the one that the Senate president should have stated with.
Right.
And it's just so sad that we can never figure out anything.
Well, we can. That's what I'm trying to say. We can. We have figured it out. It's the swamp people. They've also figured it out. They just don't want it to change. That's the hope, I guess, in a way. It sounds crazy, but that's the hope. It's not that people are unaware anymore. What we need to do is just get rid of, and you're doing a great job working in this, getting rid of all the swamp people.
Well, I'm not getting rid of them. Just
fight them off a little bit. It starts somewhere. So anyway, there'll be a lot more to talk about. And I think to digest this report, as you said, was it's almost like they deliberately said, how could we make this as confusing and boring and hard to understand as possible?
Yes, they did a good job of that.
And which, you know, again, you got to wonder why. But
I understand exactly why they do it, because the Democrats had so threatened and sued them and done everything else that they felt that they had to lean over backwards, to be fair. And then build everything up, and then at the end, maybe give some conclusion. Wrong. You're going to tell them what you're going to tell them. You tell them, and you tell them what you told them.
Right.
And it's just amazing that we can't figure that one out.
But there's other stuff going on. Sidney Powell, I believe, was in Denver yesterday to depose Eric Coomer. He's the Dominion guy, who was suing Sidney Powell for defamation. Yeah. And so she got to depose him for 2 hours. A Denver judge.
Just two?
Yes. Well,
I mean, I'm in cases where you take depositions for, you know, they allow you 8 hours to get, you know, over two days.
You got to search hard to find this. They aren't putting this out very much in the mainstream media at all. And I think if you were to just Google Sidney Powell Coomer deposition, you can find one obscure law thing that referenced it. But it was a federal judge in Denver that said Sidney Powell cleverly cited some obscure, she did a little lawyer thing. And the judge said, I guess you do have a right to depose him, but only for 2 hours. So,
if you're being sued by a person, why wouldn't you be able to depose him? And why would it be limited to 2 hours? I mean, I don't get that.
Initially, they weren't going to let her depose him at all. Initially, they were
saying, how do you not allow a defendant to depose the person who's suing them? But anyway, it's just great stuff, as always.
But anyway, there is a lot going on. And, you know, we will always, I feel kind of like Sean Hannity, but we will always do our best to give it to you as straight as we can. And you got two takes here.
Hopefully straighter than Sean.
Want to move to something else, though, now, speaking of straight, as we talked about this whole Border Patrol rain thing. I was going to kind of not talk about this, because sometimes they don't like to fuel the viral stuff, right? Because it only makes it go more viral. But this definitely has gone viral. I'm sure you've all seen the pictures, the still photos of a Border Patrol guy on a horse, and there are these rains coming down, and a guy running across the river from Haiti, and all of a sudden, the mainstream media and left-wing progressive politicians,
South Africa, whipping people.
Well, and it didn't really. I mean, if you look, it's clearly a rain, right? I mean, but they just, that didn't stop them. They said they're whipping him. Maxine Waters is saying that it's, like slavery, that a head of the Department of Homeland Security says it's evidence of systemic racism.
Oh, of course.
The president has called, these guys have been taken off. Well, one, and I'll give the AP credit for this, an Associated Press reporter, although it took her, 3 or 4 days, was sort of like, I was finally going through my video because I realized I captured that. It's like, yeah, right. I'm sure, hopefully, she said, AP was saying, bury it. And
course.
She said, no, I have to do the right thing. So so we want to play this video. So she captured the whole video.
And also PETA objected that using a horse as a riding instrument.
Yeah. For real?
No.
Oh, okay. You never know these days. Even then. Thomas, if we could play the Border Patrol videotape, please. That's it. There's no whipping. There was no, I mean, you can see what the Border Patrol guy does is he grabs his shirt and kind of spins him around.
Well, he's entering the country illegally.
Right. You can also see the guy could care less. None of those people care about the horses. And now they're hijacking buses and making the buses take him to other places than when the government's trying to send him, although they're just sending him to cities near you. So that's what really happened. Okay. That Associated Press reporter, like I said, on the one hand, I'll give her credit for putting the video out there. On the other hand, it sure took her a while. That's what really happened. Everyone acknowledges really that there was no whipping, but they don't, that doesn't stop them from calling it whipping.
In fact, considering somebody's illegally entering the country, you wouldn't think that is really too much, do you?
No. But here's what President Biden had to say about what you just saw. Here's what your president had to say about it. If we could play the Biden soundbite, please.
It was horrible what to see, as you saw. To see people treated like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped, it's outrageous. I promise you, those people will pay. They will be, an investigation underway now, and there will be consequences. There will be consequences. It's an embarrassment, but it's beyond an embarrassment. It's dangerous. It's wrong. It sends the wrong message around the world. It sends the wrong message at home. It's simply not who we are.
I mean,
who are we, Joe?
Right. I mean,
who are you? That's what I'd like to know.
303-888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, if you want to weigh in, or if you're on Zoom, go ahead and unmute yourself or raise your hand like Charlene does, or post the comment there. To me, what is outrageous is, number one, you had some, 14,000 immigrants coming in, just pouring in. The conditions there were terrible. They didn't care about that at all. The Democrats and the mainstream media tried to ignore this story all along until this whipping came out. It's clearly not whipping. Anyone with the least little bit of looking at it could see it's not whipping. And then that videotape shows all of that, right? But it doesn't stop everybody and the left and the progressive and the corporate media from saying, oh my God, this is terrible. It's inhumane. They're strapping them, which is a weird term. They're, it's just, it's wrong.
As Dr. Donna tells us, I guess none of them have ever ridden a horse. And I probably believe that's true, other than Bruce Springs' daughter and equestrian.
Well, you don't even have to be a non-horse rider to look at it and say, he's not whipping him. He's got him by the shirt. He spins around and the guy runs
asking
away.
Asking him, could you go back to the
right.
Other
and
border?
I mean, the guy doesn't yell. The guy doesn't holler. I mean, it says something. And instead, what do we do as a country? We send these four guys on horses and say, hey, we know there's like tens of thousands of immigrants coming in. Can you maybe just do what you can to stop them? And then say, oh, but if you do try to stop them, you're going to be punished. Can you imagine that poor guy going?
You should play that one again with Joe Biden. I mean, that's just just so unbefitting of a president to make those kind of statements about his own employees, right?
Right, who were just doing what he asked them to do, were only in that position because he had created such a disaster and such a crisis intentionally at the border, and then calls on them to try to deal with it, which they can't do. What are they supposed to do? I mean, can you imagine that? That guy, the Border Patrol guy, going home that night and seeing his picture smeared all over the internet, being accused of systemic racism, right? I mean, and all of a sudden his life is destroyed. His career is destroyed. They're on investigation. The president, or under investigation, the president, without even having any idea of the facts. And if he does have any idea of the facts, he knows what they are. And he knows that there was no whipping going on, condemns these people and says they will be punished. I mean, if I were the Border Patrol, I'd take my horse and I'd find a nice shady spot where there are no illegal immigrants
sure
by the river and then just saying whatever.
Well, it's a joke out there. And I mean, I don't know. It's hard to envision a worse president. I mean, even Meghan McCain said, this guy is even worse
right.
than Jimmy Carter. So I used to consider him a friend. He says he's been just the worst president.
And this is, it's very simple. It is government. The purchasing department would have an order number for whips. Yeah, that's true. Well, they don't have whips. I mean, when you look at that videotape, and even if you look at the still pictures, it's clear they're not whips. It's clear that they are, it's the reins of the horse. And he's not even using the reins of the horse. I mean, they were talking about they're taught to twirl them. When you look at that thing, he's not twirling any reins. The horse is just, it's turning, right? And the reins are loose, and he's got the guy by the shirt, and the guy wiggles away and then runs into the United States. In the meantime, though,
they're just lucky they're not attractive women around Chris Cuomo, and then they'd get
or Joe Biden, really. In the meantime, because the Black Lives Matter people, and this is the only positive thing about this, is for whatever reason, people are blaming Joe Biden for this, and and he's having to deal with it. So the Black Lives Matter people, Al Sharpton went down there to protest, which was odd. I guess he was.
But he just got booed off the stage.
He just got booed off the stage.
We don't need a racist like you here. And El Rio is a nice place.
And then in the meantime, though, there's going to be apparently a big Black Lives Matter protest there.
Oh, okay.
So they had to get rid of all the Haitians. And so who even knows if they're Haitians? They had to get rid of all those people there. And so they're just literally putting them on buses and sending them
to your neighborhood.
Into your neighborhood. Basically, I mean, and
they
acknowledge, and they're not even, you know, they're saying it may be if they talk to them, can you show up later at a court date? And I do think it's kind of funny, these Haitians, and they're saying it's difficult because the Haitians are being somewhat aggressive. They get them on the bus and they're like, no, we're not going to go there. And they take over the bus and drive it someplace else, which is right. Exactly. So, and again, as Tucker Carlson says, and I said this first, I think. It's intentional. The Democrats.
You're kidding.
I don't think they knew it was going to look this bad. The optics are going to be this bad.
They don't really care, just as long as you have millions in here and then give an amnesty inside of the reconciliation bill and every other sleazy, awful thing.
And they're going to send them all to Maricopa County.
Yeah.
And then when they send out all those mail-in ballots, you know what I mean? That's their plan, guys. That's their plan, is flood the place with these people, get their names. They're going to try to switch it so you don't have to be an American citizen to vote. And then they're going to send ballots out. These people aren't going to ever get their ballots, or if they do, they'll go collect them. And then lo and behold, Joe Biden will win. That's why they're not worried. That's why, they'll put up with Al Sharpton going down there to heckle him, and Joe Biden and Jen Psaki saying whips are bad.
Vice President giggling.
Well, yeah.
Over the whips. Whips.
It is beyond depressing anymore how the corporate media doesn't even really worry about things.
I want to give our friend a plug for his great Peter Boyle's interview of Rich Wyatt. Shoot, if you haven't seen that, go to 710, hit on the Peter Boyle's tag, and it's an hour of unbelievable video, I guess is what it is. But boy, you ought to watch it.
It's we're going to be seeing Rich Wyatt tomorrow. Actually, we're going to go up to the Laurel Eimer fundraiser there too.
Dunvin Castle.
I'd be curious to see how people like Peter spin this Maricopa County thing. And I'm guessing right now they're just going to keep going. So it proves that Biden won. So again, do not let your heart be troubled. Again, channeling my inner Sean Hannity. That's not
Sean Hannity today here.
Yeah, really, really. Real quickly before we get to, and hey, Thomas, we can call John, right at the bottom of the hour. I do also want to talk about with the government. Does anyone think they're lying to us? It's like, the FDA says we're not going to approve the vaccine, the booster shot. They're just
so the head of the CDC says, who cares what the FDA is? I approve it and we're all set. There we go. So jam your kid with it and the consequences be damned.
But I think, though, that's going to backfire. We've already had a ton of people saying.
I mean, if the Democratic Party's ever proven that it is the most worthless, feckless, evil group of people, I don't know what will. And I certainly never used to think that. Back in the 70s, even with Carter, I didn't really believe that there were certainly people like Dick Lamb that I could vote for. There are no Democrats that I could vote for today. There are a lot of Republicans that couldn't vote for, but there are no Democrats. Oh yeah, he'd be great.
Well, and again, there's a cabal now, right? You've got this compilation of basically special interest groups that are all making money through the Democrat Party. You have the actual Democrats themselves. You've got these international global corporations. You've got the big tech. You've got Hollywood. You've got this whole conglomeration. Now, there are a lot of infighting going on, but I guarantee you they run a tight ship because they're all making a ton of money.
Despite all that, Joe seems to just be plummeting in the ratings. He's down to, you know, 45, 46, disapproval at 50. I mean, it's notwithstanding the controlling all the sources of media, I think people are starting to look, certainly independents, Democrats. It's amazing to look at it. Democrats have not changed at all on Joe Biden. They know what he is. And now they are proceeding ahead with doing their dastardly things.
Well, and his approval ratings, I saw another poll, Pew poll, that show he's dropped since elected 18% among Blacks, like 14% among Hispanics, only 8% among whites. But these are some of their core constituents, which is why I wonder if they're going to make these Haitians go back if his poll numbers don't start turning over. Maybe it's going to be like, I don't know who he's going to import. I guess Afghan, you know. Oh, and by the way,
we got plenty of those.
Have you been reading this about all these reports of child sex assault at the Afghan refugee camps?
Oh, yeah, I'm shocked.
Yeah, you know, and to be, you got to understand it. I remember years ago, I had a Denver sheriff deputy was telling me they had a lot of concerns. They had a lot of people from Mexico, here illegal immigrants who were being imprisoned. And the thing is that if you're the Afghan, it's not really child sex assault. That's your wife, right?
Yeah, you married her legally,
right?
Over in Afghanistan 2 years ago, so she's 14 now.
Now they're all set. Right, exactly. That's a whole different thing. Hey, we've got John Lott Jr. with us.
Right.
Hey, John, Julie Hayden, Chuck Bonneval here with you on the Chuck and Julie Show. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you have a great column in Real Clear Investigations. I want to say you're the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, author of a book, Gun Control Myths. And you got a great column up that basically talks about something that you really hardly ever see statistics on. We hear about gun deaths, gun violence, murders, things like that. But you don't hear very much about the other side of it. And so why don't you go ahead and tell us what you found?
Right. I mean, just elaborating on your point that you're just making, if you look at the five largest newspapers, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, USA Today, and the Wall Street Journal, so far this year, they've had a combined total of 10 news stories about people using guns successfully, defensively, to prevent crime. At the same time, they had something like 2,764 stories about gun crime stories that had occurred over that same period. So, you know, any normal American that would be reading, well-read, reading the top media outlets in the country would think, you know, there's a huge number of gun crimes occurring and virtually no times that people go and use guns defensively. Of course, if you watch MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, you're not going to see any news stories about defensive gun uses occurring over that same period of time, too. And it has a real impact on people's perceptions. And so
just to give you a personal one, 2 years ago, Julie and I had one of our knockdown arguments, and I'm saying, no, guns can save lives. It can prevent crime. And Julie went, no, they're not. This is before she evolved to a more decent, honorable human being.
There's a few reasons. One of the things is because I was a TV reporter in Denver for like 30 years, and I would say, well, all I ever do, I report on crime every day. Everybody gets shot. But I think is the fact that nobody really keeps track of the defensive gun use or guns used as a deterrence, right? It's really hard to even get that information in the first place.
Right. Well, just elaborating on your point a tiny bit, if you look at the stories that do get news coverage, and so far this year, and it's mainly in smaller media outlets that you see local stories about defensive gun uses, you're talking about almost 1,000 news stories. But again, these are not in the major outlets. There may have been places like Denver that you're talking about. But one of the things that's interesting is that 43% of those stories involved cases where the attacker was killed. 42% involve cases where the attacker has been wounded, and only 4% involve cases where somebody just brandished a gun. And most of those, about three quarters of those, are somewhat unusual cases in that the criminal was held at gunpoint by the victim there until police were able to arrive. And there's usually other things that were unique about those stories. You know, you look at academics who have looked at this issue, and they say what's newsworthy clearly does not reflect what occurs out there, that 95% of defensive gun uses merely involve brandishing of a gun. And just to your point, you know, if you are in a news bureau and you have two stories, in one case there's a dead body on the ground, it's a sympathetic person like a victim. In another case, let's say a woman's brandished a gun, the criminals run away, no shots are fired, nobody hit by a bullet, no crime actually committed. You're not even 100% sure what crime would have been committed. I mean, I don't blame any news reporter or editor for picking the first story to be a lot more newsworthy. But you know, while it's understandable in terms of what's newsworthy, in terms of policy, you know, it gives people real misimpression about what works and what doesn't work.
Well, and you talk about, you know, that all these agencies now, particularly under Biden, that say, you know, gun violence, it's a public health crisis and things like that. And it seems to me that if it is indeed a public health crisis, perhaps the best solution would be give more people guns, right? And then they could deter even more crime.
You know, there are two points to make on that. One is something that I think relatively few people understand, and that is 92% of violent crime doesn't involve guns in any way. You know, I know gun crime kind of gets the headlines on these things, but very few rapes, for example, involve guns. The vast majority of assaults don't involve guns. You know, most robberies don't involve guns. But you know, if you look at Biden's three addresses that he's given on violent crime, he's mentioned the term guns or gun violence something like 148 times in those three talks. He mentioned police four times. And one of those times was about police enforcing gun control laws. He didn't mention, you know, the huge number of inmates that have been released from jails and prisons over the last year. He didn't mention prosecutors in major urban areas refusing to prosecute violent criminals, things that, you know, I think have a major impact on crime. It just shows how much he, you know, even if his policy solutions were successful, and I think some of them would be counterproductive, to be honest. You know, you're not addressing 92% of the violent crime. But on your point about giving people guns, one thing, when you look at the data, you see that people use guns defensively about 4 to 5 times more frequently than they use guns in the commission of crime. The way we know about a lot of crimes, like, for example, we know that only about half of rapes are reported to the police. Mm-hmm. And that's done because the National Crime Victimization Survey by the Department of Justice goes out and surveys about 100,000 people each year to see whether or not people have been victims of violent crime and to try to get detailed information on the difference between what crimes are reported to the police and which ones aren't. And what you find is that
I'm not sure I trust the Department of Justice these days for much of
anything.
Well,
look, I was just working in the Department of Justice up until January. I was senior advisor for research and statistics. And I have to concur with you. I mean, I could go and talk for hours about the political biases. I worked in the federal government in the 1980s, and I worked this past year, and it's really changed. I mean, you go and you talk to people, you point out errors in the data, and they won't fix them if it has a certain political bent. Wow. You know, you kind of ask yourself, how is it possible that the FBI can go and spy on a presidential campaign and not have whistleblowers or leaks?
Right.
It's because everybody agrees with each other. And yeah. I dealt with the data people a lot at the FBI. And unfortunately, I think they're cut from the same cloth. And I could give you stories about the deep state if you're interested.
Yeah, we'd love to hear a deep story. Give us one. Just give us one.
Yeah, just throw some out there.
Okay. Well, when I went to Washington, one of the things I wanted to work on was the errors in the background check system for purchasing guns. You'll hear that there are 3.8 million prohibited people that have been stopped from buying guns. And that's false. What they should say is there have been 3.8 million initial denials. Mm. And about 99% of those are mistakes. You know, it's one thing to stop a felon from buying a gun. It's another thing to stop somebody simply because they have a similar name and similar birthday to somebody. And the thing is, it's disproportionately Black males and Hispanic males that are being discriminated against. You find the error rate for Black males is more than 3 times their share of the population, and for Hispanic males, 2.5 times their share of the population.
Wow.
And so I wanted to go and get precise data when I was there. And the Bureau of Justice Statistics asked the FBI for the data. The FBI came back and said, no, we're not interested in doing this. And we said, look, it's not your call. You know, this is the Bureau of Justice is asking for the data. And and they said, look, nobody's interested in this. And, you know, why would you want to break down anything by race and gender? And my response is, you guys break down everything by race and gender. You know, what's the difference here? We argued back and forth for a couple weeks, and then they just disappeared. I mean, one of the things you have to understand, last year, there were like 300 desks on the floor that I was working at. And many days I was the only person that would come in to work. Everybody else, because of COVID, was working from home.
Working
and
hard.
So you couldn't go to somebody's desk and kind of yell at them to get them to do something. You'd send them emails and they wouldn't respond.
Wow.
And about 5 weeks went by and the election occurred. And then 2 days after the election, they get back to us and they say, okay, we've decided you have to fill out a FOIA request. I mean, you're
Department of Justice. Wait, so the Department of Justice has to fill out FOIA? Okay, go ahead. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's part of the Department of Justice asking another part of the Department of Justice for data. And they're saying you have to fill out a Freedom of Information Act request, which is like unheard of. And then they said, and to make things even worse, they said, look, even if you could get that in today, there's no way we're going to be able to finish taking care of this until after January 20th. And we're convinced that the Biden administration will not be interested in this type of data. So there's no reason for you to go and fill out the FOIA request.
Wow.
And there's a little bit more of the story I could go through.
Go ahead.
So anyway, we argue back and forth with them for a couple of weeks and they again disappear. And then the Thursday before Thanksgiving, I get a call from Grover Norquist, who's kind of a muckety muck among conservatives.
Yeah, I know Grover a little bit.
Grover and I wrote a book together. So we've known each other for years. And Grover is going to be meeting the next day with Mark Meadows, the chief of staff for the White House.
Right.
And Mark is asking for a few ideas that the Trump administration can accomplish and complete before the end of the administration.
Right.
And so I give Grover 2 ideas. One of them is the one I was just talking to you about. And so Grover meets with Mark and Mark likes the ideas. And I'm told that that Mark's going to call up Bill Barr, the head of the Justice Department, on Monday morning before Thanksgiving and give him 3 ideas, and 2 of them are supposed to be mine. And so anyway, it's my understanding Mark called up Bill, and then my understanding that Bill called up the FBI and told them to stop goofing around and to work with me on this stuff. That afternoon, Politico comes out with a story at the top of their website, the very top of their website, saying, controversial pro-gun academic joins Department of Justice.
Oh, no!
What happened?
Oh! There you go. There.
Hashtag.
That is a wonderful swamp story.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh. That that they would move. Well, let me ask you. Yeah, there's somebody.
And of course, they're not legally allowed to leak to the
Politico.
As we all know, that of course that slows no one
why
down.
Why did they want to stop that information from getting out? Do you
because
think? Well, I know, but let me. But, I mean, what's your conclusion?
Well, because they don't want anything that would negatively reflect on how poorly done the background check system is. Look, if private companies had an error rate that was 1/100th the error rate that the federal government has in doing these NICS background checks. Yeah. Private companies would be sued out of existence.
Yeah.
You know, they, and it's an easy thing to fix. All you have to do is have the federal government meet the same standards for doing background checks that private companies have to meet. But, and I've tried for 20 years to get the system fixed, but Democrats and gun control advocates will fight you tooth and nail against what I think is an extremely reasonable fix, just making the federal government have to meet the same standards for doing background checks that the federal government insists that private companies have to meet.
Well, and you know,
and, if you were to go to a private company and say, you know, I think you ought to do your background checks on employees by looking at roughly phonetically similar names and similar birthdays, they will look at you like you're from Mars.
Wow. Well, you know, here's the thing.
So John Lott Jr. made Politico.
Yeah, there you go. It's a controversial pro-gun.
Wow.
Well, you know, right. Here's the thing, too. I mean, this is one of their pet projects, right? Or their pet things, the gun control. They raise a lot of money, get a lot of, I mean, and that's why they don't want anyone to know that actually guns deter crimes, guns make crimes that are in the process of being committed less worse, that's poorly phrased, but you know what I mean, than they would have been. They just don't want people to know that. And, you know, I'm going to just real quick, because we're almost running out of time, but I think that this is something even police agencies should be made aware of, because I think clearly they have a bias.
Let me just finish.
There was a case.
We're defunding them.
Well, yeah. There was a case here a couple of years ago in Thornton, Colorado, where a guy went into a Walmart and started shooting people in a Walmart, and there happened to be a guy with a gun there, and he raised, you know, and I think he shot the guy, right? And the cops were highly critical of the guy with the civilian, the bystander with the gun, saying, and he could have made things a lot worse. It's like, really?
Really?
Then we had another case.
Well, we have
on our website
at crimeresearch.org, we have literally dozens of cases in the last few years where police have said that mass public shootings were stopped by a citizen with a permanently concealed handgun. But just in general, if you look at surveys of police, there was a survey done by a group called Police One, which is the largest private organization of police in the country. They have about 450,000 members, 380,000 of them are full-time active law enforcement. The other 70,000 are retired. 96% of police officers support concealed carry laws. 76% of police officers think that private ownership of guns is either extremely important or very important in terms of reducing crime. I would say it's pretty hard to find as a group police who are more than anybody other than police is supportive of a private ownership of guns, because they see themselves how important it is for them to have a gun. They know police know that they're important in stopping crime, but police know also that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred. So police are as a group, I'm not saying everybody, and obviously if you're in Denver or some other major city, maybe the police chief or whatever may be more political.
Right.
But the rank and file officers are extremely strongly supportive of private ownership of guns.
And you never hear that either. You always hear the police going, "Oh, we don't want anybody to have guns." And sort of could understand that, because, you know, in a world, would you rather have a gun yourself and no one else have a gun? The answer is usually yes. And so the police just don't want anybody else. But it sounds like that's not an accurate rendition of what most of them think.
Right.
What about, too, are there any statistics in terms of how, and I guess I'm thinking of when you have armed security people in schools, right? Because I mean, I could see deterrence where I brandish a gun and the person runs away. Is there any sense of how if you're a bad guy and you realize that one place has a gun or one homeowner has a gun and another one doesn't, how that is, how the deterrence occurs at that level. Any research on that?
Right. Well, I mean, you bring up a lot of different points there. I'll just mention, so there's data on what's called hot burglaries. These are burglaries that occur while the residents are in the dwelling. And we have data across many different countries. Britain, for example, or the UK, has a burglary rate that's about twice the rate in the United States. And 60% of the burglaries in Britain occur while the residents are in the dwelling. In the United States, it's about 13%. And there's surveys that are done, and we have it for other countries too, but there's surveys that are done that ask burglars who have been caught, how much time do you spend casing a dwelling before you break in? American burglars spend about twice as long casing a home before they break in compared to their British counterparts. And the number one reason that they give is that they're worried that if somebody's home, they may get shot.
Yeah.
The British burglars don't care whether people are there because they know there's not really anything that they're going to be able to do to stop them.
Wow.
And,
we've run out of time.
With regard to schools.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Uh-huh. No, go ahead. We got a couple minutes.
With regard to schools, we looked at all the guns being discharged in schools from 2000 through the end of 2018. And what you find is that 20 states allow teachers or staff to be able to go and carry guns. Right. There was not one shooting, one attack where anybody was harmed during school hours in any of those schools that allowed teachers or staff to carry guns. All the attacks occurred in schools where they weren't allowed. Here's the problem that you have. You have one officer guarding a school. They have an incredibly difficult job.
Sure.
If you're an attacker and you know there's only one person there at the school who has a gun and they're in uniform, it's kind of like having a sign above them that says, shoot me first.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they know that once they take out that one person, they're going to have free rein to go after other people. If you have, even if you have that guard there, if you also have teachers or staff who are armed, you take away that strategic advantage that the attacker has. Because
and you also save a lot of money.
Right.
You save a hell of a lot of money.
We have to let you go. Now, John, you have been great. Where can we refer people to find out more about your
and we got to have some, have you back for more your swamp stories, because that location was great.
I got more stories. But anyway, it's our website is crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org for the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org.
All right, John, you've been fascinating.
Thank you,
you for your time.
That's John Lott Jr.,
thank
everybody.
You.
Have a great weekend. Hey, and that will wrap up Party Friday for
us.
Well,
one more thing, one quick thing, Julie.
Okay.
This is our 11th anniversary?
12th.
12th.
Yes. Oh, okay. There you go.
12 wonderful years. But it is. It has been great.
It has been good. So thank you, everybody. And we will see you all on Monday.